This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
All confidence if this is 262 or 263.
Do you want me to hint?
Yep.
263.
Okay, I'm going to run with that then.
Okay.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 263 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
You're so trusting. My name is John.
So is it 263?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I thought so. See, I just normally I update it like right now. I've updated it so it says 264 for next week. And I was looking at it. I'm like, I don't think I updated that last week. So,
nope, it is definitely that. 263. Yeah, definitely. Definitely 263. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely
yep.
263.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
So I watched some shows and stuff. Did you watch some shows and stuff?
I watched zero movies, but I watched plenty of shows and stuff.
I watched two movies.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to stop you.
Yeah, I know. I'm out of control.
You are out of control, friend.
I'll just tell you the two movies I watched real quick and seeing how I'm only one that watched movies this week. I watched Desperado. The Robert Rodriguez classic with Antonio Banderas and Danny Trejo and others. It's funny because I watched, well, Salma Hayek, and anyways, I watched it. Steve Buscemi's in it, Cheech Marin. I watched it with Kanan, and he's like, "Look at all these stars that are in this movie," and I'm like, "Well, when the movie was made, they weren't stars, buddy." Really? Well, it was made in 1995, 26 years ago. So, still holds up. It's good. And then
Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other movie I watched, Kate bought a new MacBook, and it came with a year of free Apple TV Plus.
Hmm.
And so she didn't realize it until like last 2 weeks ago. So I waited for Kanan to get here and we watched Greyhound. Tom Hanks. Huh?
I don't know that one.
It's based on a novel called The Good Shepherd, which came out in 1955. It is about it was written by Tom Hanks and it stars Tom Hanks. And he is the commander of a U.S. Navy. The plot follows a commander of the U.S. Navy on his first wartime assignment in command of a multinational escort group defending merchant ship convoy under attack by submarines in early 1942 during the Battle of Atlantic, only months after the U.S. officially entered World War II. So it's based on true events as far as like when these ships would travel across to England from the U.S. and there was this Atlantic gap, they called it. Which was ships from the United States could fly out as far as they could fly with the fuel they had before they had to turn around and go back. And then ships from England could only come out, you know, so far. So there was like a 36-hour window where they had no air coverage.
Oh, okay.
And submarines do not like air coverage because it's easier for the planes to fly down and drop bombs on the submarine as opposed to the ships shooting at them and everything.
Right.
So the movie's short. I mean, it's 91 minutes, but there's like 6 minutes of credits. So it's like 85 minutes from beginning of just action. Like it jumps right into it and it's just naval battles and they're excellent and they're very technical. It's just very well written, very well acted, great story. I really, 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 really enjoyed this movie. And it's unfortunate that the window of people being able to watch this is so small because it's only on Apple TV.
Mm.
Like, this movie probably would have done exceptionally well at a standard theater box office or even home video or just people watching it on any other service besides Apple TV, to be honest.
I've actually contemplated getting a subscription to Apple Plus or Apple TV Plus for a couple of the original shows they have on there, especially Mystic Quest. I've heard some good stuff about that. But do you realize it's only $5 a month?
Is it really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so it's $5 a month. And so that's why I'm considering actually getting it, watching some shows and seeing how I feel about it.
Oh, based on Final Fantasy.
Kind of, yeah. Yep.
Okay. Nice. But yeah, no, I give this movie a hard sell.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah. Nice. I guess it was going to be released in theaters, but, you know, COVID.
Yeah, that does seem to have happened for a lot of things.
Yeah. But no, it's very good. Nice. Very, very good.
That's cool.
All right. So shows and stuff. Wasn't a big list of shows.
No. And I'm going to jump right in here and say right off the bat that unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to say it much longer because apparently Prodigal Son was canceled. So we're not getting a third season. So this was the last one. And it's been good. I've really enjoyed it. But yeah.
Well, a show that I've been watching that you don't watch. Well, real quick, so Oak Island finished. It was another strong season, actually. It was actually one of their best seasons in a couple of years. As far as, because of COVID, they were forced to do things that they had to keep it small, if you will. Like, they couldn't bring in these big equipments to do this giant dig they planned on doing this season and stuff like that because of the inaccessibility of the equipment because of COVID. So they were forced to, like, check their records a lot and go through things and discover things and... They found over 700 artifacts on the island this season.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's more than double than they've ever been last year, and it's the biggest year they've ever had. And last year had been the biggest year they'd ever had. And they, because of COVID, they were forced to alter their plans, which made them go, okay, well, let's get permits to do this, and how about we, you know, do a dig here and do an archaeological dig here, and they found so much stuff. And one of the things they finally said in this episode, they asked this Dr. Spooner, they said, if we were to take another island in this area and we were to do the essentially as much digging, I'm just saying the word digging, as they've done, like the research they've done, the digging, the searching, Josh, everything they've done, the metal detecting, the archaeological digs, would they find as much stuff on any other island in the North Atlantic than this island, like they did? Would they find the same, like, you know what I mean? Like, if I went over to this other island and we did the same level of searching that we did here, would we find as much stuff over there that we found here? And he said, absolutely not. Something happened here. Like, it's clear. Like, they found this road that was built for a reason and then purposely covered up and so people didn't know it was there. You know, like, yeah, they found so much stuff this year that just kind of asked more questions and answered some questions, but it was really fascinating. It was like, it was good. I don't believe for a minute that they're ever going to find a treasure there, but I do believe that there was a treasure there and someone's already found it.
Maybe they found it and this show is their way of covering it up. Like, if they constantly say that they're looking for the treasure, then they can be spending it while everybody's like, ooh, I wonder if they're going to find it this time.
Maybe, who knows? But it was a very good season.
Now I'm starting to think that's it. I'm sold.
Probably.
I'm sold on the idea.
It could be it. So have you seen the trailers for Mayor of Easttown?
I don't think so.
It's an HBO Max original. It stars Kate Winslet. And my wife Kate and I both saw the trailer for this. Not really the trailer, actually. We just saw the... like one of the previews, like a Mayor of Easttown starring Kate Winslet and da 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 da. And we were both intrigued by it. And we both thought it was a BBC series because of who was in it and the name of the show and everything. But it takes place outside Philadelphia.
Okay.
And she has an American accent, of course. It's a 7-episode miniseries is how they're billing it. Each one's about an hour long. We watched the first 3 episodes because it started April 18th. So we've watched the first 3, and then the 4th episode aired last night. Like I said, there's 7 total. It's excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. You would like it. Yeah.
Sell me on it. Like, why would I like it?
It's just good. The acting's good. The story's good. I mean, it's the premise here. It says in the suburbs of Philadelphia, a detective named Mayor Sheehan, which is Kate Winslet, investigates the recent murder of a teenage mother while trying to keep her own life from falling apart. She's a local hero from winning a high school basketball championship 25 years ago. She has her own personal issues going on with her son and her daughter-in-law. And her grandson, who's an infant or toddler now, and then her daughter. I mean, it's actually just – it's really good. I mean, it stars Gene Smart's in it, Guy Pearce, Julianne Nicholson, Evan Peters.
Oh, nice.
John Douglas Thompson. I mean, it's very good. It's a crime drama miniseries, 7 episodes. You should definitely at least go watch the first episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right there on the old HBO Max.
It's on HBO Max. Get your money's worth, sir.
The maximum HBO.
Yep. It's. I was surprised how much we liked it. And Kate actually said, like, we had watched the first episode. We watched the episodes, the first episode, and then a couple days later, we ended up watching the next 2 because we didn't realize that the second one was already there. The third one was already up. But she actually said she likes that they're not all there for us to binge through it, that's one episode a week so we can take our time. And I was like, and that's exactly what John and I do when we have a show on Netflix we watch or something, for instance, that they post them all at once as we try and take our time with it.
Yeah.
So you enjoy it longer. But every episode was written by the same guy. Every episode was directed by the same guy. So, you know, it's a consistent story and vision, which I enjoy. I'm starting to enjoy more and more. But, yeah, no, I think it's worth your time.
That's cool. Yeah, maybe I'll check it out. Lord knows I got time.
I don't. Let's see. Zoe's Infinite Playlist. Extraordinary Playlist. I don't want to keep it infinite. What'd you think of this episode?
I love the music in this one. I like recognize
fantastic. All the songs. Yep.
And I don't know. I thought this season started off bad. Like it didn't have the magic because her dad wasn't around, and I think they were trying to find their footing, and now they do kind of have their footing. The whole story with Mo and his boyfriend, which I'm glad that the show finally took the time to do the pronouns thing, because you and I have been kind of guessing at that for a while. So that was nice of them. But yeah, the whole story there where basically Mo is his ex-boyfriend, like, you know, same kind of personality, same kind of energy, and he's like, oh, it's made me realize that, you know, I might not be okay with having people look at me. It seemed like a stretch, you know, like he's sitting there saying that he realized that he is very uncomfortable with somebody of that energy level drawing attention, and so he wasn't sure if that's what he really wanted. And I don't know. It felt like a bit of a easy out kind of thing, but I guess.
Not to talk over you. I apologize, but I had an issue with it because basically he was like, when I decided to come out and, you know, and present myself as gay or whatever, however the terminology he used, he was okay with it because he had a deep voice and he played sports and he was a firefighter and he did manly man stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he was good with it. And his former husband also was, you know, you basically he didn't, if you were to look at him, you wouldn't know he was gay. If you were to look at his former husband, you wouldn't know he was gay.
Right.
Unless they knew. And that's why he was okay with it. But Mo, clearly dresses like a woman, and people would know that, you know, Mo's gay, so he must be gay. And I'm sorry. I don't know if you like, I forget Mo isn't a natural woman.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yep.
And when I watch the show, like completely all, that's why we had this whole pronouns talk last week or 2 weeks ago about, like, you know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, I forget all the time. So I don't, like, it's okay. It's weird. I'm not obviously exposed to a lot of drag queens or whatever it is, but it's, this is the first time I've seen one where I don't go, oh, that's a dude dressed as a woman, which is fine. But this is, you know what I mean? Like, it's not obvious. I forget all the time. Like, not that I'm sitting and remembering. I'm just, yeah. When right. It's when they say he, it throws me off. And I'm just like, right. Oh, that's right. So.
Right. I get you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really felt like this dude fucked Mo over.
Yes. You know,
it was
1,000%.
It was a shitty situation, and mm-hmm. we were supposed to feel bad for him, but I don't feel bad for him.
I don't at all.
And, you know, good. Go hide or do whatever it is that you feel you've got to do in order to be okay with yourself. But, yeah.
Yeah.
So there was that. Max, of course, is going to move to New York.
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't he? I mean.
But he won't tell Zoe that.
Correct.
Instead, he's singing about going to New York. You know, he's got New York on his mind.
New York State of Mind.
Yeah, there we go. New York State of Mind. That's the name of the song. And I liked when Zoe was talking to her therapist at the beginning of the episode and then talking to a therapist later on, where she's like, and I know I you're going to say I have all these feelings for Max still. And I don't. I just, he's like, actually, no, I was going to say that it's an abandonment issue you're having. You know, you're. Now your father passed away, and now your mentor left, and now your best friend's leaving. So it's he goes, I look at this as an abandonment issue. She's like, oh, yeah, you're right. You know, like,
yeah, got to flip that around.
Yep. So I did appreciate that thoroughly.
Yep. And she still hasn't told Simon what's going on. Continues to make things super awkward with him.
Yep. Makes it worse for him. Absolutely.
Yep. And she really should tell him what's going on. And, you know, he's probably going to understand it because he's been very understanding about everything else. You know, he'll probably be like, oh, that's why you've been such a flake and so weird.
Oh, this makes sense.
Yeah. So. What else? Oh, Mom and her. You know, I said last week it was a gambling problem. I don't know that it's a gambling problem. It seems like she just wants to feel alive. But then Bernadette Peters' character is just kind of weird.
Well, I thought it was funny because when I was watching this episode, I was like, oh, maybe John was right. She's got a gambling problem. But that's not what it is. That check that she got from that guy that was hitting on her and then treated her like shit. She just wanted to get rid of the money. So she thought she'd go piss away at the casino. But instead, she kept winning.
And winning and winning and winning.
So she's going to replace the roof on the garage, and her and Deb are going to go on vacation.
Yep. And so. Deb was feeling shut out, like, you know, oh, I brought you to the casino. You should have brought me. And she's like, yeah, I just kind of wanted to do my own thing. Don't need to check in with you all the time. And
yep.
Deb didn't like that answer.
She did not. But oh, well.
Yep.
It says Mandy Moore directed this episode.
Yes, she did. Yeah, I remember that being popping up on Instagram a lot. They were like, oh, Mandy's so amazing. And I can't believe she didn't put herself in it, like, you know, even just like a cameo.
Well, maybe she can't because of This Is Us.
Could be.
I mean, I doubt it, to be honest, but maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, overall, it was a good episode. Like I said, I really liked the music. I liked the whole opening therapy section there where she's talking to the other people in the room. She's like, so what are you in for? And they're like, dude, this is therapy. We don't talk about this stuff with you. We talk about it with the therapist.
And then they all sang.
Overwhelmed.
Yeah. Thank you. So.
Yep. Good stuff.
Which I've actually never been to a therapist's office where you had that many people in a waiting room. It seems like that'd be overbooking yourself, seeing how your sessions are an hour long and you wouldn't have six people waiting. So
yeah, I feel like either there were multiple therapists in there, you know, like they had a practice, or that was just set up like this so that they could have the musical number.
The song and dance number. Yeah. That seems more likely than anything.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. What else we got? The Rookie.
La Fiera is back. Actually, this was one of those, like, let's bring back all the characters. So we had La Fiera and Bradford's buddy, whatever his name was. And
yep. Who at the end they have a good heart to heart talk, and Bradford's like, you got to get out of the drugs or whatever. And they have a nice aggressive hug with each other.
Yeah. The manly hug.
But of course everybody's at the hospital.
Yeah. Because
remember at previous episode, Henry collapsed at dinner. So Henry's at the hospital with Nolan and Henry and his daughter-in-law basically. And so because Nolan's there, the captain shows up to check on him. And then Bradford and Nolan's TO show up to bring him breakfast to make sure he's okay. And then, of course, you know, Chen and Wes, they have to bring this girl in for medical clearance.
Who turns out to be a drug mule taking ecstasy in condoms. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just they all happen to be at the same hospital. They all had a reason to be there. And then, the pregnant girl, I just want to say Ortiz, but it's not.
Lopez.
Lopez, yeah. Lopez and her husband, they're there for her doctor's appointment. And then, like you said, La Friera is there.
And so they basically, she's like, you got to put me on it, and walks away from her appointment to go see her.
Yep. Yeah, and she's there to see this dying drug lord who she's like basically wants to get a piece of his business or take the business over for him because his son's a piece of shit.
Yep.
But she's there with her son who tore his ACL playing soccer, or as they call it, football.
And it'll turn out that was the least of his concerns ultimately.
That was because the lead poisoning he suffered later on.
Whew. Yeah. Yeah, that was a pretty aggressive case of lead poisoning.
I mean, there's a cat and mouse thing where Lopez and whatnot, they're trying to put a bug on La Fiera to hear what she has to say. She's talking in codes and on and on and on. And this
paid a guy to buff the floor right near them. And
yeah, it's just, but eventually Lopez confronts her down in the parking garage to basically say, hey, I know your mom. You need to do what's right for your kid. You need to walk away from this. You need to go away because I do not want to have to arrest you. And La Fiera's like, I can't leave. Like, I can't get out of the business at this point. Like, I'm trapped. Basically is what she says. I'm trapped in this business. Yes, I live for my son, but I have to do what I have to do. And then gunmen show up and kill her son.
Yep. And so specifically aimed at him. Like, they weren't aiming at her. They were like, oh, there's the kid in the wheelchair. Let's gun him down.
Yep. So there's a big shootout in the parking garage and everything, and only the bad guys lose in this one.
Right. Well, and the kid.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, it's the rookie. It's the rookie, that's for sure.
It's once again a very fun show. It can be very cool at times, but also it's really starting to reach that point of saturating the believability. Where you're like,
yes.
Now, come on.
Yeah, it really does a lot. I still enjoy the show, but like that's why I really enjoyed the Amber Alert episode, because it was more realistic, if you will.
Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of wish they'd tone it down a little bit.
Yeah, but it's really becoming over-sensationalized. Like, the original premise of it was good, you know, following rookies around. And now they're like, well, they can't be rookies forever. And it's becoming like, I don't know. I can't even think of a good comparison.
It's everybody's a Mary Sue.
Yeah. And it's always over the top.
Oh, it's very over the top. Yes.
But it's still got some great characters and some great dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, don't forget that in this episode, we also had the big story, you know, the primary A story where Baby Yoda was stolen.
Oh, God. Baby Yoda
was stolen. So he installed the security camera in the house because he thought that the girl was
a nanny cam, basically. Yeah.
And Chen was like, I broke it and I was going to replace it before you noticed, but it was hard to find. And then turns out that the girl, like, you know, gives him a plush one. She's like, I know that she broke your thing. And here, I got you this one. It's not as good, but it's something. And I did like, though, that Chen was like, do not tell her. You know, you will crush her. Just chalk it up as a loss and do not.
He was going to. You're right. He was going to apologize for his suspicions that she didn't know about.
Yeah. And Chen's like, no, that will destroy her.
I did like where he goes like, man, maybe we should watch The Mandalorian tonight. Oh, yeah, that'd be fun. That's like based on a movie, isn't it?
Yeah. He's like, oh, no, 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 no. Come with me.
Over on the over on Young Rock, it's election day.
Hmm.
And
Do you think he'll win?
I'm guessing that's the season finale.
I don't know. I'll check while you're talking about
it. Yeah, I mean, I don't know any other episodes, but basically in this episode, because we get to see 10-year-old, 15-year-old, and 20-year-old Rock all in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And more and more and more, 20-year-old Rock, that actor looks like The Rock. It's crazy. But we actually get to see all three of them. We get to see how his grandmother perhaps went to... was going to get arrested by the FBI and possibly what led to her deportation. We see.
Oh, no, that wasn't going to be. That was definitely happened.
Well, no, but that's what led to it was the we see her getting arrested, which led to her deportation. But we also see, you know, him, you know, getting in the not getting drafted and then getting in the Canadian Football League and. You know, and then the possible election results, they haven't announced it yet, but the one of the last scenes is The Rock, the real The Rock, and his real mother sitting on a park bench together talking about...
That was really pretty, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Talking about, wow, look what's happened in our life, and I wish Dad was here, and et cetera, et cetera, and I may actually win this, and so it was good. I liked it a lot.
And yeah, that was the final episode of this season, so...
Yeah.
I was like, no, there's 12 episodes. And then I looked down. I'm like, wow, we've had 12 episodes. Look at that.
So the actor, Brett Azar, who's playing the Iron Sheik, has been making the rounds at wrestling conventions as the guy who plays the Iron Sheik on Young Rock.
Outstanding.
My assumption is that people are... want him to be there. Like he's being like people have contacted him and said, hey, come to our convention, come do this autograph signing.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, sure. I'll make some money off this. Why not?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
So.
No, it was an enjoyable show. I will check out the second season because I want to know if he won the election.
Yeah. I'll check out the second season.
I'm down.
Did you watch any of The Bad Batch?
Okay. So you had said that you watched it, and I told you, no, I'm not going to watch it because it's, you know, I haven't done Rebels or Clone Wars.
And I have not watched Rebels or Clone Wars either.
I had seen some conflicting stories online. Some of them were like, you need to watch these shows before you watch The Bad Batch. And then some of them were like, you don't need to. They recap it nicely. It takes place in between here and there. But I know enough about the lore and I know enough about the basics to be able to piece it together. So I was like, all right, I'll check it out. And boy, I got sucked right into that first episode.
Oh, right. It's 75 minutes long.
And it was great.
It was fantastic. Did you watch the second episode?
I did not watch the second episode. I didn't know if you were going to be watching it or not.
Oh, so. Hell yeah, I did. I watched the second episode.
Is that one just as long or is it back down?
Second episode's 30 minutes.
Okay.
It's actually 31 minutes, I think. But
then I'll do 2 and 3 this week to make sure
that
we're all caught up.
Awesome. So I won't talk about episode 2, but it's Clone Force 99, also known as the Bad Batch, you know, a group of elite clone troopers. Genetic mutations, so they all kind of look the same, but they look different. I love that Dee Bradley Baker is voicing everybody.
Yes, all of them.
He is not only voicing all of the members of the Bad Batch of Clone Force 99, but he's the voice of all the other clones as well. The only one who's not voicing is Omega, who they sometimes say Omega, but whatever.
which would be awkward.
Yeah, who's a clone as well, but she's a female clone. Mm-hmm. And she's also been genetically deviated, but they don't know for what.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Or, I mean, and maybe this is explained in episode two, but did they ever say that this was a clone based off Django? Because I know that the other clones were, but this is a female.
No, they didn't say that, but they said okay. She's a clone like we are.
Right.
So
I'm wondering.
Yeah, I don't know, but I mean.
I'm wondering if she has some kind of force sensitivity, because in that first episode when she hauls off that shot and she shoots crosshairs.
Yeah. Shoots him in the ass. Yes, exactly.
Like somebody could say, oh, well, maybe her genetic modification is this, but she also seems very intuitive and very, like, she has a calming presence. I think we're going to find out that she's a clone of a Jedi.
And maybe she is, yeah. One of the things I hate about Clone Wars, and people are going to hate me for this or whatever, I hate the narrator voice. Like, I hate the narrator guy that talks about it.
Uh-huh.
It bothers me. Like, I don't know. It takes away from the enjoyment for me, to be honest. That's why I could never get into Clone Wars. And then when the narrator starts at the beginning of this, I'm like, or whatever, I'll let it go. But it is a really cool tie-in because it ties into Clone Wars.
Right.
Because the beginning of this episode is essentially the end of the Clone Wars, because, you know, the Bad Batch are helping Depa Bilaba, and it's right then that Order 66 is issued, and the clones, you know, the other clones turn on Bilaba and kill her, and then Caleb Doom, a.k.a., you know, Kanan, who was voiced by Freddie Prinze Jr. in this.
Wonderful that they got him to do that.
Yep, exactly. Well, they got Ming-Na to do Fennec Shand in this,
right,
eventually. And Andrew Kishno is doing Saw Gerrera, who's also in the Star Wars Rebels. So, I mean, there's some crossover.
How cool is it, though, to see the origin of Kanan?
Oh, I loved it. Yes. Yeah. Caleb Dune, yes. And Kanan, yes. I loved it. I thought it was great. You know, Crosshair is the only one that his chip, if you will, is making him feel like he needs to obey Order 66 without questioning it.
Right. And eventually, orders, and the mission is a mission.
Yep. And eventually, Crosshair kind of turns on the Bad Batch, and that's who's most likely going to be their nemesis this season, other than just the rest of the Imperial Army. So,
which makes a lot of sense, because he would be the one, well, somebody from their ranks would be the one to be able to know what they were going to do, predict their movements, etc.
Yep. Yeah. So, I don't know. I thought it was very well done. I thought it was a great story. I got sucked in hard.
Hardcore.
I loved it. I'm glad you decided to give it a watch. And yep, episode two. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it definitely makes me, at the very least, want to go back and skim through Clone Wars, but I want to watch Rebels. And I've been talking about that for a while, and this really makes me want to watch it even more.
I do want to watch Rebels, but I don't have any interest in going back and watching Clone Wars. I tried multiple times to watch Clone Wars. It's just not working out for me.
Yeah. I think there's just too many episodes. There's like 168 per season or something like that. It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, and there is a lot. You know, Rebels is 4 seasons. It's 75 episodes. So, I mean, it is a lot as well, but it feels less daunting. And the Clone Wars is 133 episodes and 7 seasons.
But. Yeah, that's too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although I look on here, and season 7, episode 1 of Clone Wars is called The Bad Batch.
Yes, it's the kind of the cold introduction of them. I would probably go back and watch that one episode at the very least.
I think that there are some guides out there that are like, what you need to do, these are the ones that you should really pay attention to. And they're like, I'm looking at the tail end of season 7, and I'm seeing the Phantom Apprentice, Shattered, and Victory and Death all look like they've got major focuses with Ahsoka Tano, Darth Vader.
Mm.
Yeah. So I do. Yeah, I think I'm going to go back and watch. Maybe I'll cherry pick, you know, find one of these guides that says these are the stories that matter in Clone Wars and watch those.
Well, I'll probably go back and watch them. I would go back and watch them as well then.
I'll see if I can find one of those lists.
Yeah, if you do, please share it with me.
I want you to know that I watched the first two episodes of Home Economics on your suggestion.
And what'd you think of that?
It's not bad.
Yeah.
It'll get canceled pretty quickly.
Oh, most likely, yeah.
It's too broad of a topic. You know, they're trying to cram in too much stuff. Let's make sure that we've got the ethnically diverse. And I mean, they even call that out in the beginning. She's like, oh, look, my little ethnic daughters-in-law. And they're like, you don't have to point out that they're ethnic, Mom. You know, the lesbian couple, the ethnically diverse cast, the kids, the, you know, rich one, the poor one, the struggling
middle
one.
Middle class one, yeah.
Yep. It's they're trying to hit all the check boxes like they were filling out a bingo card.
Really are pretty hardcore on this one, yeah. Because like the daughter who's a lesbian, her wife is black, and then the author, his wife is Spanish and teaches her kids Spanish. And yeah. So you're right. They're checking all kinds of different diversity boxes on this.
And it's enjoyable. You know, if I have time, I'll throw an episode on, but it's definitely not one that I'm going to go out of my way to watch every week.
It's not a priority, no. Unlike Debray.
Debray.
So we got the second episode, or part two, if you will, of the Do You Know Icarus, which was I Am Icarus.
Yep.
I did enjoy Do You Know Icarus better than I Am Icarus, but I still enjoyed the hell of this, and like I cut you off when you were saying, it did not disappoint.
No, it did not disappoint. And yes, I think the first episode was stronger because it was unknown to us and we didn't realize it was going to end on a cliffhanger. So this one, we kind of went into it knowing, okay, they're going to wrap it all up this episode. But I loved that in this one, we actually got to see both sides of it. Like we got to see them all. Like one time it would be him meeting up with the sister. And then one time it was her meeting up with the brother. And then it was him meeting up with the brother and her meeting up with the sister. And like, it was great.
Yeah, I liked it a lot as well. I liked how they mixed it up. And if you notice, once they did get it all resolved at the end, they didn't remember any of it.
Right.
And not only did they not remember it, well, they showed up and the guy's like, hey, we got a lot to talk about. And so they're going to tell them, obviously, what happened. But then Brian's boss, Maddox, this is what's really key. And Do You Know Icarus? We see like Brian Maddox gets a call from a guy saying, hey, we got your reservation. Just want to verify you're still going to be here. And he's like, yeah. But basically, he went and confronted his wife, who was out at a lunch, at a fancy lunch with the guy, and it turns out to be a divorce attorney. And he and his wife have this big heart-to-heart talk where basically their son died because she was driving a car and got in a car accident, and he died. And she cannot forgive herself. She hates him because he's forgiven her, and she can't move on, and she just can't be around, and she is just in desperate, desperate despair. And they have an amazing heart-to-heart talk about this and kind of like they're going to go forward and resolve these things together. But in this timeline, he was affected because he didn't go see his wife at the restaurant because he got the message late about the reservation. And when he gets home to find divorce paperwork sitting on the table and her not around. So. Yeah. That was interesting because it affected. Go ahead.
Do you think he remembers that?
I don't think so. No, I really don't.
For him, because that was a good heart to heart, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but no, I really enjoyed the hell out of it. Great two episodes. You know, some other people I saw talking about this. Basically, my buddy Brandon down in North Carolina was like, he loves this show. Kind of, it reminds me of Fringe a little bit. But it's a great, good sci-fi show that's on network TV, so it'll probably get canceled.
Yeah.
I love how none of us have faith. I love how none of us have faith that that anything lasts nowadays when, you know, of this genre.
Yeah. And it's too bad, but, you know, at least we're knowledgeable of it, I guess.
Yeah. What else you got on the menu, sir?
I watched New Amsterdam.
Cool.
This week, Max had a patient who was Native American, and she refused treatment because, you know, New Amsterdam was built on the land of her people, and it's 400 years of injustice. So Max decided, okay, we're going to give it back to the Native Americans. And the board was like, yeah, go fuck yourself. Like, they wouldn't even take him seriously because they're like, this is over the top even for you. So then, of course, he does some shenanigans and ambushes one of the board members in the lobby with a bunch of Native Americans protesting and gets her to go on camera saying that they're going to rename the lobby for them or something like that. But yeah, he was going to try to like change the name of the hospital to the Indian tribe and give them back the. It's ridiculous.
Yep, that's dumb.
And I can't remember her name, but the female who runs the ER, which it will always be an ER, not an ED. You know how she had brought that cab driver in and was letting her stay in the closet? Well, they found her, and so they kicked her out, and so now she's staying with the female doctor. She's like, look, just come stay at my place. You know, you don't deserve to be on the street. Now she has passed the medical board so she can be a doctor again, and they are a couple.
Oh, they're lesbian?
Well, Bloom didn't realize it. But, you know, this girl, like, she was so excited and they were kind of like, you know, getting close. And they was like, and then she kissed Bloom and Bloom was like, I got to go to work. And then she came back and the girl's like, I'm going to leave. I made you uncomfortable. I shouldn't have done that. She's like, no, it was just a shock and I didn't realize it. But you know what? I kind of want this. So, yay.
Okay. I'm not diminishing that story. I'm just diminishing the series in my mind. It's just not anything I'm interested in anymore.
It's really become, what would you say, like popcorn TV? It's so over the top. Like, I keep waiting for us to discover that, like, Max has some kind of inoperable tumor that's pressing on his brain, and that's what's making him go this ballistic. Like, this kind of crazy manic behavior can only be explained by the fact that he's dying of a brain tumor or something. That's what I'm waiting for, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think that it's just that he's supposed to be, you know, so impassioned and so empowered, and we're supposed to say yay, but I'm not saying yay.
Yeah.
And let's see. Other than that, on my list, I only have the final two episodes of Invincible, the Return of Legends, and the first episode of Jupiter's Legacy.
Well, what do you want to talk about first?
Jupiter's Legacy.
All right, go for it.
So here's the good news, bad news. The good news is, honestly, this show sucked me right in. Like, I really enjoyed watching this first episode. I thought it was cool. Some of the stuff was a little bit hokey, like when they were all fighting that boss bitch. But everything that I've seen online that does, like, recaps of the whole 8-story arc all says that it's way too boring, way too drawn out, that it doesn't get where it's supposed to be going, that the story is tedious. So I'm kind of worried about that. But the first episode kind of drew me right in. Yeah, I don't like the teenage angst. You know, the story that we're getting here, and we get it in pieces. So far in the first episode, we've determined that we've got a married couple, the Utopian and Lady Liberty, who are superheroes, and everybody knows them. It's like Superman and Wonder Woman. And I saw their outfits, and my first thought was Edna Mole saying, no capes, but they're wearing capes. And they are superheroes. They're protecting the world all the time. His brother, Utopian's brother, Brainwave, has some mental powers. He's also a superhero. Apparently, they're from back in the 1920s. They were adults, and now they're old people. So I don't know if like the powers have slowed down their aging or what, but I mean, that puts them at like 100-something years old. And they're very gray, and they look old. But they're still tough as nails, and they still have these powers. They can fly, heat vision, super punching, you know, stuff like that. Brainwave's got some cool powers where he can lock you inside of your own mind or paralyze you. So Utopian and Lady Liberty have two kids, and the kids have powers as well. The son, I'm blanking right now on what his code name is, but he wants to be good, but he's not that good. He, like, wants to be a hero, but he's living in dad's shadow.
Paragon?
Paragon, there you go. He's living in Dad's shadow, and so he always comes up short. He's part of a team, and they've got, you know, they're all younger superheroes. They've all got their own powers, and they all work together with Utopian and Lady Liberty and Brainwave at times. And then the daughter kind of fucked off from the hero thing. She's got powers, but she just does the fashion model, self-absorbed, you know, the world is a shitty place kind of thing. And so I could definitely deal without the angst of the family drama, which is probably what most of this is predicated on. I mean, it's talking about the legacy. So what we've determined is that these two guys were alive and successful businessmen back in the days when the stock market crashed in the 20s. Their dad jumped off the building. We don't know what happened to make them superheroes, but it's probably coming. We'll probably get that part of the story soon.
Right. Yeah.
Now they've been superheroes ever since then and somehow making money still. I don't know. The action was good. The story felt kind of cool. You know, we've seen this kind of story a million times with, you know, superheroes who have kids and, you know, how do they deal with it? How do they deal with the pressure? We're seeing it right now in Lois and Clark, you know,
or yeah.
Superman and Lois. Sorry. How do you deal with, you know, filling those shoes? How do you deal with this? But I really liked the twist that we got towards the end of the episode with, you know, the son just like hauling off and punching the bad guy. Like his thought was this guy was going to go nuclear. He was gearing up. He was going to explode, kill everybody. He had already killed two members of the team. And now he was going to kill everybody within like a 2 mile radius. And he's like, I had to stop him. And his dad's like, no, we never kill. There's always another way. No, you can't. Oh, he was mad at him for it. And I think that's going to form the rift between them that's already existing between dad and daughter.
So here's my generalized thoughts. I thought it was okay. I didn't get sucked in. I'll watch episode 2, but I'm not super excited about it. And that's really been the theme almost of all of these series that have been on any of the streaming services that we've watched lately. You know, like them, the Nevers.
Well, you can't say all of them because WandaVision, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Invincible.
I'm not counting that. Not counting those. I meant like on Netflix, Hulu, you know, Amazon, except for Invincible.
Okay.
You know, like especially Netflix. Let's just go Netflix. You know, they're okay. They haven't been great, you know, and I don't know why that is. Like even like House on Haunted Hill sequel.
Yeah.
The Ghost of Bly Manor. That was, you know, that was just, eh. And I just don't know if I want to. I have less time to watch stuff now.
Yeah.
And so I want to watch stuff that I really enjoy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And I have to agree, like Netflix is not my go-to anymore. Like,
no, like more than once I've thought I could probably cancel Netflix for a few months and just save my $14 a month and be happy.
And then they send you that teaser for Stranger Things 4 and you're like, damn it.
Well, yeah, exactly. But you know what I mean, though? It's like, I you're right.
Oh, yeah.
Netflix has been less and less my go-to when it comes to a streaming service.
Like the way that it goes for me is I'll turn on Netflix to see what new came out this week. And if it's nothing that I'm interested in, I'm like, okay, there's another week that I won't be watching this.
Yep.
Like I'd been excited about The Irregulars, but it got canceled. And I'm not sad because I was excited in the beginning and then stopped caring.
Yeah. Okay. That's another example of a series. There we go. That
I'm helping. Yeah.
Yeah. Where I was just like, yeah, okay. That's all right. What was the other one? Shadow and Bone. That I was super excited about watching. And then I'm just like, but do I want to watch this?
Yeah, I haven't.
Like, do I even want to give it a try? Yeah, no. With Netflix, yeah, I almost feel like canceling it for a few months and then, all right, let's see what's interesting on here now. But I probably won't. I did remember I did watch another movie. I forgot that I did watch. So, and I'll talk about it in a little bit.
Okay.
So yeah, Martin is pissed about this show.
What, Jupiter's Legacy?
Yep.
Why is that?
Because it is not, this is like season one of the show, but it's actually like graphic novel 3 in the series.
Oh, boo, bad form.
Yeah. And he talks about it on this week's episode, Nerdy Legion podcast, that posted today, Monday the 10th. I haven't listened to it yet, but I am actually going to listen to it so I can hear what he has to say about it.
Mm.
So I can hear him go into great detail about it, because I never read the comics from Image. He did.
Or did I?
But he was, as he put it, full of rage about how they decided to skip the first two books and went straight to the third volume, and then they've re-released it now since it's been on Netflix, and now they're calling it Volume 1 when it's really Volume 3, and yeah.
Interesting.
Yep, et cetera, et cetera. So, but we'll see. Legends.
Legends.
Okay. Gary.
A good show.
Is a fucking alien.
Yeah.
And he has been the entire time.
Uh-huh.
And when they did the big reveal, I wasn't even surprised. I more so felt like, oh, okay.
And did you notice that pretty much everyone on the show reacted the same way?
Yeah,
like the show is so meta about itself that they were just like, yeah whatever. Oh, yep. Gary's an alien. Okay, moving on.
Yeah, look at these glasses we found in Gary. Yeah, okay, so we left his glass, but we go, no. Watch when I put them on. Now I'm an alien, and everyone's like, Gary's an alien. Yep. Oh, okay.
Okay.
That actually makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, the last season ended with them partying in London in 77 and Sarah getting abducted by aliens. And apparently David Bowie saw it. So he was singing a song about it, and then they zapped him. They try to contact the DEO for help with this, and they find out that it was actually destroyed in 2020. So, okay, now that's gone.
Yeah.
Constantine and Zari are having a little love tryst.
They're trying to keep it as a tryst, but you know, he's developing feelings and she probably is too.
Oh, she clearly is. Yeah. I like when Astra's like, she's got you on a juice cleanse, for crying out loud. So,
yeah,
no, I really enjoyed the episode. I love the show. I mean,
God, yes,
they really can do no wrong. Mm-mm. Because they don't take themselves seriously anymore.
Yeah. Like the whole Gary thing, like you were saying, it was just like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And we're moving on. There is no, they didn't need to dwell on it. They didn't need to retcon anything. They didn't need to care. They were just like, by the way, this happened.
Yeah, and by the way, Gary's been an alien this whole time.
Yeah, of course he was. Moving on. I fucking loved it. It was great. It was so Legends that it was Legends. It was the most meta thing they've ever done.
Yep, it really was. Mm.
Love this show. Love it.
And all right. Invincible.
Invincible.
So we watched the last two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And did you feel that this kind of just ended? Like, that's it, huh? Okay. Season's over, I guess.
Yes, I definitely felt like they had prepped this to end the story of Volume 1 or whatever, and that if they had gotten canceled, they were going to just leave it like that. It definitely felt like a safe ending.
Well, okay. Well, so Omni-Man basically reveals to his son that he is from Viltrumite. Except it's not what he said. Instead, they were a planet that Everyone battled everybody on the planet and killed everybody who was weaker until only the strongest of everyone survived. And then they decided they were going to go conquer other planets. But, you know, they couldn't just do that all the time because they were, you know, spreading themselves thin. So then they decided that they were going to go and each go and infiltrate a planet and embed themselves there and then reveal themselves when the time was right to take over the planet. And that's what Omni-Man was there for.
And they've all been doing it for a long time. This wasn't like it just happened last week. They've been doing this for a long time.
And and Mark fight. And they battle. And Omni-Man just beats the shit out of him. And through Chicago, just, I don't know, killing thousands of people along the way. Like that train scene where he pushed him through the train and threw all the people on the train. And then while Omni-Man is punching his face in and knocking his teeth out and everything, he starts to have flashback memories of Mark as a kid and losing his teeth and playing baseball. And his wife's like, you know, look, this is what it's about. And basically he realizes how much he loves his son and flies away, just stops the devastation that we just talked about. That he not only did he was he beating Mark like he was going to kill him, okay, for 30 minutes he told us how worthless human beings were and how he was there to destroy them and how Mark was, you know, a Viltrumite, so he, you know, has to just understand that everyone here is beneath him, including your mother, and no one on this planet's better than you. She's a pet. I looked at her like a pet these last 20 years. I mean, like, and then he just goes, oh, I loved my son when he was a kid. So I'm going to just fly off the planet and head back to outer space. And that's the end of it. Just going to fly away.
See, I took it a little differently.
Okay.
I see where you're going with that. But to me, it was that, you know, even the. What was I going to say? Get out of here. Even the whole scene of him, like, coming to that realization, like, watching the flashback, he struggled back then, too. It wasn't like his wife was like, oh, you know, you should love your son. He was like, why? It's useless. This is a stupid game. He should be training. I should be training, blah, blah, blah. Like, he was, even back then, he was a dick about it. And it wasn't until, like, she really pushed him and really pushed him, and then he was like, okay, he's kind of cute, you know, all right, I guess I have a little pride. But it wasn't like from that moment on, he was like, oh, this is the greatest thing. It was a chink in the armor, basically.
Yeah.
The way
I
saw it.
Yes.
And then what happened from there is that he had a moment of doubt. I don't think that it was like, oh, now I love my son, and so I'm going to fly away from the planet. It was that he had a moment of doubt, and he was like, fuck, I don't know what to do with this. And he couldn't bring himself. He's spent the past whatever it was many years on this planet prepping it to be taken over by his people. This is all he's ever known. And even in this last moment, he was like, no, this is what I am doing. No matter what, I don't care about your mom. I don't care about you. And then he had that flashback and he remembered that he had a pang of love for this kid and it threw him off. And he's like, fuck. And so he left the planet because he is confused and doesn't know what he's feeling right now. But I did not take it as like, you know, okay, that's it. I'm just going to let them live. I took it as him being like, I don't fucking know what to do right now.
Well, see, and I expect him to be back. But the montage at the end basically shows that, you know, Mark has all kinds of people to fight.
Yes.
So.
Yep. And but remember when he was talking with God, I can't remember. But Seth Rogen's character, that alien.
Yeah, the guy on the moon. Yeah. Back,
and he's like, dude. There's a Viltrumite on your planet. And he's like, yeah, let me tell you about that. And he's like, oh my God. He's like, Viltrumites never walk away. Like, they never walk away. This is unprecedented in the history of the universe. This has never happened. People are going to need to know about this. Like, this was a huge fucking deal.
Yep.
And he pretty much, like he said, I never should have come here because Viltrum has claimed this planet and I could be killed for this. And my people were killed by the Viltrumites. Like, there is no way I should be down here talking to you right now. And then to find out that the Viltrumite there took off, he was absolutely blown away. He's like, nobody is going to believe me. Like, this has literally never happened in the history of anything. And so that also leads to more credence, because he's like, you know, the Viltrumites don't give up. They will be back. So maybe we're going to have other Viltrumites coming, or maybe, you know, Dad is going to have to decide if he wants to side with Mark and the Earthlings, or if he wants to side with his people.
Yeah.
And that's going to be interesting too. So yeah, I think that it did kind of end, and it ended on an easy note. And I mean, easy. Mark got the ever loving fucking shit.
Oh yeah. He got wrecked. Yeah. He got wrecked, and thousands and thousands of people died.
And you know, there were two things in there that you were talking about that I really liked. One is, I, because of everything that we've seen in the past, I was expecting there to be one of these moments where, like, Mark rallied and beat his dad because, you know, it turns out that the human in him gave him, you know, the power of heart, something like that.
I kept waiting for that to happen as well.
Yeah, and it never did, and I really liked that. I'm like, good.
Yep.
Like, let him be vulnerable like that. And also, I really dug the fact that his dad, Omni-Man, just fucking killed people. Like, killed them for the sake of killing them. Like, after Mark rescued that jet fighter pilot and brought him back down and touched him down on the planet. And his dad comes down and he's like, well, that was a waste of time. And he just, like, flicks the guy's head and his head explodes. Yep. And he's like, don't you understand? They are useless. They are worthless. They are weak. You are wasting your time. They can be stronger when we fold them into the Viltrumite collective. But right now, they're just useless. You're wasting your time and your energy on saving them when you should be training up for the other shit that's going on in the universe. So I really loved watching him just flat out fucking kill people to prove a point. Like, no, I'm going to knock over this building because these people literally mean nothing to me. This was beyond just like a superhero gone bad. This was a person who literally had no regard for any of the people that he was supposedly protecting. And
that's very true.
And apparently in the comics, it made more sense. Remember how I told you that I read that article that,
yes,
or I saw the headline? So apparently in the comics, he went into more detail about it. And that's that when he got down to the planet, he started realizing that others were trying to take over it. So he had to stop them from taking over so that he could take over, his people could take over. So he found himself defending the planet more and more and more as a hero to keep those people away so that it could be for his people only. And eventually that's what started leading him to like the Earthlings a bit more and to like Mark's mother to the point where he would actually mate with her. He didn't think that he could actually have a child. So he thought that it was just like, okay, I can have sex with her and it'll be okay. And then he had a kid and he was like, what the fuck? But he wasn't doing this. You know, he'd been there many, 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 many years. And he was doing this all like, he was fighting off other supervillains and he was fighting off other aliens in order to keep the planet just for his people. But eventually he got so used to it that he became a protector and was protecting the people. So, but he still looked at them with disdain, that they were still just cattle.
Okay. I like your explanation, and I like that expanded explanation a lot more too.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to the next season because I think that that's where they're going to be able to spread their wings and they're going to be able to say, yeah, let's really take this story up a notch and bring the fight. You know, now that we know the secret, now Viltrum can make a move and we can see what's going to happen there. Or just make it a bunch of superheroes that are saving the planet over and over again. I'll be just as good with that, too.
Yeah, same here. Well, I guess that's it for shows.
It looks like it, yeah. Huh.
The other movie I watched was the Amazon original Tom Clancy's Without Remorse, starring Michael B. Jordan.
How did you like it?
It's okay. It was good. It's kind of predictable. They kind of show you the coolest parts in the trailer.
Okay.
You know, Tom Clancy's, one of his biggest stars, if you will, is Jack Ryan in all his books, you know?
Yeah.
And apparently John Clark, who's this character in this book, in this movie, this is his origin story, if you will, is his second most popular character. And so when this movie was signed to be made, it's automatically going to be there's a sequel for Rainbow Six. So,
okay.
Yep. Yeah, it's decent. It's a good action, spy, killing, fighting type movie. So,
okay. Yeah. Most of the reviews online said that it was, it was okay.
Yeah.
A little slow, a little boring, but you know, not bad.
Little formulaic and predictable, but
yeah.
News and trailers.
I guess that's all we got left, huh?
Yeah, I sent you a trailer.
Yes.
For Venom. Tell us about the
Yeah.
And you sent me the trailer for Venom at the same exact time. Like, it was hilarious.
That was. You're like, well.
Yeah.
So, what'd you think of that?
I kind of like how Eddie Brock and Venom are like the odd couple buddy cops together. Yeah. I actually really like that part of the trailer.
Yeah.
That's how the relationship is. And, the whole, you know, they go into the,
in the beginning.
Yes. They go into the convenience store. Mrs. Chen maybe is her name. And she's like, "Hey, Eddie. Hey, Venom. Hey, Mrs. Chen." He says, "Hey," you know, like, I thought that was funny. And apparently she's there. She's paying them to protect them with chocolate.
Yeah. Leaning into the whole lethal protector thing.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah, I don't know. I liked it. I like the trailer. It's like I told you, I'm not going to go to the theaters and watch this movie. This is going to be an at-home movie for me.
Yeah. I was surprised by how much I liked the first one. But at the same time, it's not a it's not a theater watch for me.
No, nope, definitely not a theater watch.
Like a drive-in flick.
Yep. Yeah, I could do a drive-in. Yeah.
But so, it's definitely not a, I'm going to go to the theater and sit inside with people.
Yeah. The other trailer I sent you was the teaser, like you mentioned earlier, for Stranger Things 4.
Yep.
I'm going to watch it. So that's really all there is.
Yeah.
And then you shared a bunch of trailers with me.
Yeah. Starting with Leverage Redemption.
Woohoo. I can get behind that.
Yeah.
I can definitely get behind that.
Do you remember, I didn't even look this up, and I should have before this week, but do you remember why it is that Timothy Hutton isn't coming back? Is it because of him being a problem person?
I don't remember, to be honest.
I remember there being some kind of reason.
Yeah.
But no, Wiley's great, and I'll see him as that.
Yep.
The Last Letter from Your Lover. Nice, sad, little sappy, romantic type thing.
Meh, whatever.
Funhouse. I had to share that one with you because it looks so horrible.
Oh my God, that looks terrible. I'm like, why the fuck did he share this with me? Is he just like, okay,
because
sure.
I got duped into watching it, so I was like, somebody else has to share this misery.
Fair enough.
Basically, it's Big Brother meets Saw in the worst way for all things.
And they're all terrible.
Yeah, they're like, all the people are terrible, but you also don't even want to see somebody kill them. You know, you're just like, I just don't want to watch this. Period. Ugh,
it was, I'm not interested at all.
It really upset me to watch that trailer. So I was like, yeah, I got to share that. Rugrats reboot.
Yeah, I don't see why that was necessary.
I don't know why they made it all like CGI. Like, they took the time to get all the voice actors to come back and reprise their roles. Great. Why did you make it this 3D CGI shit? Cash grab. Awake looks interesting.
Hold on a second. Timothy Hutton had some sexual assault allegations levied against him that he has denied. So
gotcha. I knew that. I knew there was something, and I thought it was that he had some bad guy stuff. That's air quotes, bad guy stuff. Okay.
Yeah. No, Awake looks really good.
Yeah, basically aliens and people can't fall asleep. But then, you know, there's always got to be the one little kid who can fall asleep, so we've got to get that kid to the, you know, safe zone so that we can experiment and figure out.
Yep.
It's a trope, but it works.
What was it? Shoot 'em up is the one with the like people can't have babies anymore. And we're in this post-apocalyptic world, and this woman gives birth to this baby, and this guy's trying to get the baby to safety and the mother to safety, and all the people with guns around. All of a sudden, they hear the baby cry, and they all just stop because none of them seen a baby in so long. And that's basically how he gets out of the building, is because they're just so enamored by the fact this guy has a baby.
Right.
And then he like gets clear, and then they go back to fighting and shooting each other.
Yep.
So, yeah.
I sent you a trailer for The Amusement Park.
I can get behind this Shudder exclusive. Heck yeah.
Yep. George Romero's lost movie. Fuck yeah.
Yep.
Even if it's terrible, I'll watch it.
Exactly. And speaking of newfound Halloween potential traditions.
Yeah.
The Muppets Haunted Mansion coming to Disney Plus this fall.
Hells yeah.
I am all over that.
Hells yeah. Now, when you said Haunted Mansion, did lightning strike?
No, I don't have the gonzo power.
Oh. Sent you a trailer for Fatherhood. Kevin Hart doing a heartfelt role. No pun intended.
You know what? I'll be honest. This looks outstanding.
It does look outstanding, and this will probably be his first time being considered for like an award of some sort.
Yeah, and it's a true story.
Yep.
And it's basically about a guy who's, I'm guessing his wife died either in pregnancy or in delivery, I mean, right after. But he's a single father raising his baby. He's widowed. And I love it when he goes to the parent support group and they're like, this is for new mothers. And he's like, no, it says for new parents. And that's what I am. And I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Like, you see the Kevin Hart humor, but at the same time, it's sad humor. You know what I mean? Like, it's
tragic.
Tragic humor. Thank you. Yes. No, that looked really good.
Yeah. And then finally, just tonight, right before we recorded, they dropped the first trailer for Solos, the Amazon Prime anthology-ish.
Yeah, I could not tell you what this is about. Nope. I could tell you that it stars a bunch of people, and it seems like they're somehow connected, maybe through reincarnation. I don't know.
The taglines as it's going on said 8 people, 7 stories, 1 unbelievable connection.
Yeah.
So it's probably going to be like, you remember that that other Amazon one that was it was about modern love. There we go.
Yeah.
And how each story was individual, but
that was actually really good. I really liked that series. Yeah.
And that was another Amazon Prime original, and it also had Anne Hathaway. So
yeah.
But yeah, we got Anne Hathaway, Helen Mirren, Morgan Freeman,
Constance Yu. It says here the premise of the series ponders what it means to be human, arguing that we are connected to others through shared experiences, even our most isolated moments.
Nice.
All episodes drop May 21st.
Oh. Well, we'll have to spread it out like we do.
Yep.
And then news. You got any news?
Nope.
Like I mentioned earlier, Prodigal Son and the Irregulars were canceled.
Yep.
Wells and Cisco are leaving Flash.
Yeah, I saw that. I read that earlier in the week. It doesn't surprise me.
No. It's fun for me to read some of the recaps of these episodes now and go, wow, I am not missing anything. Like, apparently this last week's episode, Killer Frost was put on trial. Not Caitlin, but Killer Frost.
Oh, and, okay.
And they were going to force her to take the cure so that she would disappear forever. And also, apparently, like, the Speed Force is back, but apparently there are other forces too. Like, the Strength Force was there, and the Speed Force killed the Strength Force.
Okay.
Yeah. Not sure how that works, but apparently they're building up to their 150th episode, and Nora is going to be back for that. So, yeah. And then the only other two things that I had, how would you know her? So, Hannah John Kamen, who played the villain Ghost in Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yep.
Okay. I know her mostly as Dutch from, what was the name of that show that I liked on sci-fi? Killjoys. Loved her in that. She has officially signed on to play Red Sonja.
Oh, yeah. Nice. I'm glad.
Yeah.
You know, actually, I've been wanting to watch that original version for quite a while.
Yep.
Just because I don't think I've ever seen it that's not a not on TV.
Oh.
So like, you know what I mean?
Uncut version?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've only ever seen it edited for TV version.
Hmm.
So I got to figure out a way to watch that. Well, not figure out. I've got to watch. I've been wanting to watch. See, it's weird. I've been going through these phases where it's like, I kind of want to watch some movies I used to watch all the time when I was a kid that I haven't watched for years. Like, I want to watch all the Conan movies. And if I remember correctly, the first Conan movie, he didn't utter a fucking single line.
No, practically.
It didn't see, that's the thing. That's why I want to watch them again. Cause it's like, I remember watching them, but I don't.
Right.
You know, I think I saw Red Sonja the most because it might have been on TBS all the time or TNT or something. And, you know, Schwarzenegger was in it as Conan. But, like, the original Conan movies, I know I've seen them, but I don't. Yeah.
Well, I think she'll be a very good Red Sonja because she kicked a lot of ass in both Ant-Man and the Wasp and in Killjoys. She was a badass bitch. So.
Yep, I can get behind that.
And then the last one, this just sounds great. The creative team behind the horror comedy Freaky is returning for a project that sounds completely inspired and intriguing. If Freaky was a dash of the horror of horror mixed with body-swapping hilarity of Freaky Friday, their latest project, titled Time Cut, is being described as Scream meets Back to the Future. General plot details are unknown, but Freaky director Christopher Landon, who is also responsible for Happy Death Day and Happy Death Day to You, is on board to produce the project, and writer Michael Kennedy signed on to handle screenwriting duties alongside Sonal Patel.
Cool.
I could see something like that. Scream meets Back to the Future. Hell yeah.
Yep, I can get behind that.
Yeah. That's all I got.
Well, I mean, sounds good then.
Yeah.
Sounds like an episode.
Yep. Yep. We, it's nice. You know, our episodes aren't stretching into the 2.5 hours anymore. I mean, maybe the people listening are like, oh, you know, I kind of liked having that extra, you know, while I was working out or walking or whatever, but.
Yeah.
But used to be getting better at a decent hour.
Yeah. So I like that a lot. So. But anyhow, cool. I guess that's it. I'm on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm barely on Twitter, and I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
And that is our Shazo.
We'll talk to you next week. No.
What?
Not Shazo. No. We're not doing that.